again, in my generation, I will give myself to the things of the Spirit and the Word of God. Praise God. In my generation, I will give myself to the things of the Spirit and of the Word. Praise God. Why is this important? God is looking up to you. Like you're going to hear in this teaching before I get into it. Christ is the head. You are the church. You are the all right. So if God would do anything, he would do it through his body. Where is his body? In heaven, as people call heaven, or on earth? I mean physical. Where is Christ's body? On earth. So who will run the operations of God on the earth? Because we are his body. Amen and amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified, and your name is glorified. Praise the Lord. How many people are excited about the 3 days of prayer and fasting? Hallelujah. And then we also had on Saturday 4 hours of prayer. Listen, the investment is intentional. Hallelujah. The investment is what? Intentional. Please, I want you to understand that in the city, I say it all the time, in the city and the nation that you are in, the spiritual darkness and wickedness is a reality. Amen? Amen. Church, amen? Amen? Many people are used to spiritual wickedness from nations that are not doing well. So it looks like it's obvious. Amen. But I'm talking, when we talk about spiritual wickedness and darkness, really we are talking about the hardness of heart and a rejection for the gospel that makes a plate clouded and thick. So that's why you understand why we do what we do. Amen and amen. Amen. Why we do what we do. So when you see us, 21 days, 3 days, prayer, morning, evening, night, it's not because we are bored. It is because the pregendus precostus, madaprote shepradila, engrecose prafatisus, you are at the very edge of something huge. You are at the very edge of it. You are at the very edge of it. So the counsel to you is continue. Continue, meno, stay there, continue, abide. For there is something that is overwhelming, that is walking through you. There is something that is stirred up. There is something that is stirred up. And don't look at yourself and say, can I make a difference? Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. In your agreement is agreement. In your corporation, he's cooperated. So don't look at yourself as a little one, a little non-entity. For there's nothing like that exists in God. But men and women, priests, who do God's work on the earth, and boldly so, and they boldly declare. While people may say it is one or two, but in fact sometimes it's okay, one or two, but men consistent, diligent, who will give themselves to the things of the Spirit, and they would see the manifestation of the glory of God even in their nation. Praise God. Praise God. Say, I am one. I'm one. I'm one. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's look into the scriptures. We are looking at the Champions League. Hallelujah. Who are we? We are champions. Say, I'm a champion. Come on, I am a champion. Right? And we made progress. And last week, and the way I taught last week was intentional. I remember knowing that I taught and I gave a lot of examples. Yeah, it was intentional. To steer you up to see that the supernatural is your play field. Is your what? Your play field. And please be very, very intelligent in this teaching to understand that when I'm talking about believers' authority, I'm not just talking about the healing of the body. I'm talking about exercising authority as a believer on the earth. Praise God. Church, praise God. Church, praise God. Yeah. Exercising authority. Stealing storms in the name of Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Exercising authority and that miracles might happen in the name of Jesus. Exercising your authority. You know, you need to ask yourself the question, do we have authority? If we have authority, what is this authority? When I know this authority, how can I? You say, how can I? Church, how can I? How can I exercise this authority? It's very important. A lot of believers, if they say, is there power with God? They will say, yes. Can God do mighty things? They will say, yes. Walked upon the sea, raised the dead. Yes. But we are talking about the believer. What can you do? Can I see a madman, a demoniac, and get him free? Can things be going all topsy-turvy because of a demonic oppression, and I stand there and the things change? Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. So let us start off. Number one thing I want you to understand is that this world is spiritual. Write it down. I wanted to start off there because sometimes we get so carnal and physical. Carnal means physical. Yeah, we get so earthly. We get so carnal, we think all there is to life is all that we can see. And that's not so. That's not so. Praise God. That's not so. There is more to life than what we can see. Because even in this, and that's how our kingdom, we walk by faith and not by sight. So in this kingdom, we actually, nice one. In this kingdom, we actually go much more, not by sight. So when you look, there is more information in the spirit realm, much more information than what you can see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What does that look like? The Bible says, for example, in the book of Hebrews 12:22, ye have come to Mount Zion. Are you on a mountain? Is this a mountain? But what did he say? You have come to Mount Zion. When I believe the gospel, I've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Are you in a city in this place now? No, but that's what the Bible says. The heavenly Jerusalem. Are we in Jerusalem? But what does the Bible call us? The heavenly Jerusalem. The church, the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. I am trying to let you understand that there is more to life than what you can see. If you don't know it, you will actually be defeated before you can even start the journey. You see, two people are fighting. You say, you think it's just, no, this one doesn't like. No, there is someone behind it. Let me say this, although that was my last week's teaching. The love walk paralyzes the operations of darkness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am saying the love walk is the greatest offense to the total plan of the devil. Amen and amen. Church, amen and amen. Yeah. A father saying he will not talk to the child anymore. A child walking, it looks normal. It just looks like, but there is something operating behind that we must be aware of. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Let me show you from scriptures so that we are just aware. Someone say awareness. Awareness is the secret, is the first step to participation. You know, until you are aware that you have a car, you can't drive it. Until you are aware you have a shirt, you cannot wear it. So you must be aware that there is another realm that is so real, operating side by side, and has a very great influence on what is happening on the earth. If you don't know that, and it's not that everybody's trying to make you afraid, is that you can choose to believe it, you can choose not to believe it. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't change the price of milk. It's just still the fact. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Are we there? Right. Finally, I want you to be there quickly. 5 minutes already into my teaching. I've not started. So let's be fast. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren. So who is he talking to? Believers or unbelievers? Believers. Finally, my brethren, be strong in yourself, in your ability, in yourself. In yourself or in the Lord. Which one? You must remember. Strength. Where is your strength? In the Lord. When he says in the Lord, in what Jesus Christ has done. Be strong in the Lord and in the power. We're going to get into all these words later. In the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're going to get into all of that. Verse 12. For we, church, for we, for we wrestle not against flesh. Who will be flesh and blood? It will be that brother or sister beside you. He's actually trying to tell you that there is a reality outside of you. He says we wrestle. When you're looking at this wrestling we are talking about, you know, which we're going to get into later, it says it's not against flesh and blood. Everybody say, Rebecca is not our problem. No, no, it's important we register that Rebecca is not our problem. Amen. Amen. Church, let's say this together. Toby is not our problem. You must, because, you know, a man might be married to a woman and they are living at home and all manner of things are happening. You say it's the woman. It looks like the woman. But the Bible is saying be smarter enough to know that there is something deeper. Someone is trying to tamper with your joy, your happiness, your peace. It's not the person. Even if the person says, see, I will be the end of your joy. Listen, it's not still the person. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? I want you to be there. So what are some spiritual realities that you will not see physically that are operating even on the earth? But we wrestle against principalities. What else? Powers. What else? Rulers of darkness. What else? Spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. So when people always shout, heaven, 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 I always tell them, which heaven are you talking about? When you tell people that there are demons in heaven, hey! Because you must understand, the Bible says the spiritual wickedness in heavenly, people like places, in the places. So when we talk about heaven, we are talking about a realm we cannot see. So we will now have to qualify what that realm you are calling heaven that you cannot see is. Amen? So that's why the Bible will say we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenlies in Christ. So the heavenly in Ephesians 1 verse 3 is in Christ. But also in heavenlies, are there spiritual wickedness? Yeah. So there are kingdoms in heaven. Amen. Amen. Am I too fast? All I'm here to say so far is that there is more that exists outside of you. So do not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Don't take men as too much of a big deal. There is someone behind, and men mean well. Men don't mean well. But there is someone I can tell you that all the time does not mean well. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. However, does he stand there? He says, no, there is a way we are to stand. Amen. There's a way we are to stand. So we're going to look at this. So the first point is the world is spiritual. The second point is Rebecca is not your problem. Amen. Now the third point I want to get you to is, do you have authority? We stopped at Luke chapter 10. We stopped at Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and we spoke about believers' authority. Someone say believers' authority. All right. Okay, so last week we stopped at Luke chapter 10, verse 19. How many people can agree with me that as at Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus Christ had not died? How many people can agree with me? He had not died. He had not come out of the grave. So what Jesus does here is what we will call delegated. All right, okay. So look at Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 also and sent them two by two to every city that he would come. And then in verse 9, what did he say to them? Luke 10, 9. What did he say? Heal the sick that is there and say unto them, the kingdom of God is near unto you. Listen, did you hear what he said? You. What do you do? Heal the sick. He didn't say, call me. He said, you. Heal the sick. Who determines the healing of human beings? God or human beings with authority? This must be clear. You may say, little me. Well, you don't have to decide to say you are little. That's why we started off last week by saying, ye are of God, you little children, 1 John 4 verse 4, and have overcome them, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the... Someone say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it is a fact. Come on, say it's a fact. It's a fact for now. You know, because sometimes we hear these scriptures. Right? When Madeline was talking to me, I said, Pastor, you should have seen the way she was saying, there's something about me. There's a lot of... I said, hey, dear darling, all this greater we have been talking about, you, is a joke to you. You know, and that's the thing. Don't, you know, while obviously she was aware of who she is, so she told the person who she is, but don't even wait for demons to describe who we are. That's why we are men of faith. If the Bible says, greater is it that is in me, you say, oh, there's something in me. It is there. So, but you don't feel it. No, God didn't promise you feelings. God gave you truth. Yes. Amen. Yes. If you go by feelings, the devil will whoop you all the time. Yes. Praise God. Church, praise God. If you go by feelings, the devil will whoop you all the time. I was embarking with some of our disciples. I told them, you know, I want to show you how to heal the sick. So all these things we are doing doesn't look like it's just tales by moonlight. And said, the first person that is sick, we bring him around because we are doing evangelism. We'll get, and I want someone that is physically impaired. So I want someone that is on a wheelchair, blah, blah, blah. That's what we want. They went out and they saw Brother Gbadi. I will never forget his name. Brother Gbadi or Brother Gbola. You know, his Gbadi. He was just wheeling by. And they brought him to me. And they said, oh, Pastor, okay, it's time. I said, everybody gather near and hear what I'm going to say now. Hear. Why am I giving you these examples? To show that when we say greater is he that is in you, act like so. Someone say, act like so. Amen. Amen, people. You know, imagine you came into this particular room with your phone. And if you don't find your phone, I know you don't just say, oh, well, I didn't bring it. You'll be like, I brought a phone here. You even start looking for it. Why? Because you know that you brought a phone here. Amen. You know, if the phone should ring, you're not saying, ah. No, you know that you have a phone that receives calls. Praise God. I'm talking about, this thing we are talking about is real. Don't wait for you to see it before you believe it. So now we were there, and I said, okay, everybody, listen to me. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Brother Gbadi, rise up and walk. Guess what happened to Brother Gbadi? He didn't rise up. That's the point. Brother Gbadi did not rise up and walk. Everybody was looking at me. What will he do again? I said, Brother Gbadi, rise up and walk. Brother Gbadi didn't stand up. Do you know that I could have left Brother Gbadi on the wheelchair saying something happened to the power? Guess what? To make it complicated, rain started to fall. The people I was teaching ran to the shelter. It remains Brother Gbadi and myself on the... I said, Brother Gbadi, I brought my disciples here. Whatever will make you walk, you must... You must walk. And I said, Brother Gbadi, we're going to do this one more time. In the rain. You know that kind of rain that is beating? It's not this whistling rain. You know, it's beating. So I said, Brother Gbadi, we're going to do this one more time. And I will lay my hands on you. I will move back. I will stretch my hands, start to walk. And when you start to walk, I will hold you so that you are not afraid. Why? Because I had seen that because he had been crippled for too long, he also had elephantiasis. You know what elephantiasis is? When the legs are so big, so they could not carry him. So I said, oh, this is what this man's fear is. I said, I'm going to walk with you in the name of Jesus. I moved back. He stretched his hand. I picked him up. I said, okay. I just held his hand. He stood up. I held him. I said, let's walk in the rain. All the people are under shelter. They came back and we're walking together. Walk. And now, before you know it, Mr. Gbadi is pushing me on his wheelchair. My point is, the authority is there. You will be the one to know that it's there. This authority is there. You will tell the authority concerning my home, loose your hands now. You don't see it. You say, loose your hands now. I am a man of authority. Hallelujah. I said that to say, because I've never started talking about the believer. Look at Luke 10. We are in verse 17. The Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject. Even devils are subject. Listen, the devils, no matter the devil, is subject to any believer. Subject to how many believers? Any. It is just that, does the believer know his authority? Amen. Church, amen. Church, amen. Say, I know my authority. My authority is not rooted in my feelings. Come on, my authority is not rooted in my feelings. My authority is rooted in a resurrection. That is a fact. How many people here believe that Jesus came out of the grave? That is the backbone of your authority. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Look at it there. It says there now in verse 17, the demons were subject unto us through thy name. And verse 19, it says, behold, I give unto you power. Luke 10, 19, I give unto you power to do what? Tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means. So the believer. We are not talking yet about the believer. We are just talking about somebody who was working with Jesus, that God, that Jesus gave delegated authority to. We are now going to be looking finally at the believer. Say, I am a believer. Come on, say, I am a believer. Okay, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3. We are going to be looking, what makes me bold in my authority? Ephesians 1 verse 3, what does it say? Blessed, are you there? Be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? So this thing that God has done, is it that he will do or he has done? How many people went to school and understand that when you see ED after a statement, it's talking about a past tense, an action, blessed, cursed, loved. These are past tense, really. Say, I am blessed. Look at it there. It says there, blessed us with how many? Church, with how many? So what did God bless you with? You know why we are confident enough to say God blessed us with all spiritual blessings? Because God gave us himself. You know, for example, if I say, I am married to you, what am I giving to you? I'm giving you, you say you took my name, but really you are taking all of me. So you say, oh, this woman has all of this man because he did not leave anything out. Praise God. So Jesus gave himself. That's why we are blessed with all. That is why the blessing is in Christ. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. What is this blessing? It is in verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after you have heard, Ephesians 1:13, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Is this for everybody or for those who have believed the gospel? That's why he said, when you heard the gospel of your salvation, after that you then believed. What happened to you after you believed? What happened to you? You were, I'm in verse 13, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of? So I heard the gospel. I believed. Upon believing, I am what? Sealed with who? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is what God has given to me. Praise God. Church, praise God. So the Holy Spirit is what God has given to me. Now I am someone who the Holy Spirit lives in. Praise God. Church, praise God. That is why Paul, this simple thing I just said, Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. Paul had to pray that people will understand what it means. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me give you a personal counsel if you want to grow spiritually. Or if you want someone in your family to grow spiritually, know God, grow in the things of God, pray over them recklessly. Ephesians 1 verse 18. Intentionally. What is there? We're going to look at it today. As you do, the veils will start to come off. You know, you can be an intelligent Christian.
It's not that, oh, I've been praying for him 15 years. Are you praying rightly? Amen. Church, amen. Amen. You know, we used to have a lot of people who used to minister to the sick. And they didn't used to get a lot of results. Then they started to listen to our messages and the results increased. Was it because God was doing something special? No. It was because now they started to learn how to do things rightly. And one of the major things they used to do in those days was they used to ask God, come and heal. And so when we started to teach, we said, you don't ask God, come and heal, because he has given you the authority to heal. So they changed it. So we used the authority. We're going to get there later. Someone said, he's always saying later. You to wait. We'll get there. Amen. So instead of them to exercise the authority of the believer, they were asking God to come and do it. So they would scarcely see results until it got to a point they heard. Someone said they heard. They heard that, no, we don't ask God to heal, we heal in his name. When we started doing that, results changed. Why? Because they came to know the truth. So if there is somebody in your life, somebody around you, you want to get them to be into this, your Jesus thing the way you are. You know, to a good degree, you have some leverage and authority in your family. Do you know that? Hey, do you know that? Do you know that? Yeah, you do. Right? So pray for them, Ephesians 1 verse 18. That their eye, let's go there together, because we're going to look at what it means, but let's go there together. Ephesians 1 18, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. So I've told you anyway, pray it for them. Now let's explain what this means. Paul is praying. What did Paul tell them? The same thing I'm telling you today. You are blessed with the Spirit. Then he now says, you don't get what I mean. I need to pray for you that you will get what it means that Christ lives in you. Because the moment you get what it means that Christ lives in you, there is a supernatural mentality you now carry. Amen. So look at it. It says, the eyes of your understanding. Okay, let's look at from verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of. So see, listen, there is no new spirit that is given. Because he has given them the Spirit in Ephesians 1:13. Amen. He said, you are sealed with the Spirit. So when he says, giving you the Spirit of wisdom, he's just saying, helping your mind see better. Amen. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Where does this happen? In your mind. He says that the eyes of your understanding. Does your understanding have eyes? But as in physically, does your understanding, does he have eyes? Why will he put eyes there? What do you use eyes to do? Vision. To see. So that your mind can see what I just said. What did I just say? That the Spirit of God lives in you. That your mind will see it. Because spiritual things is by revelation, not just, it's by revelation. And when you get it and you feed on it, it changes your walk. Praise God. Church, praise God. He says that the eyes of your understanding, that's the mind, will be enlightened. That's what enlightened there means, to be flooded with light. Imagine traveling. Have you ever been on the motorway? You know, from where I come from sometimes, doesn't matter if you have flood light or not. Where I come from, you can travel. Right, not much more in this particular nation. You really be stopped. But in those days, you know, it would be guesswork. It's another car coming. Because you cannot see. Because you cannot see, you cannot make proper judgment. You get what I'm saying? But he's now saying that your mind will see clearly. You know, if I put off all the lights here, we'll all be grouping. You know, speed will be affected. We'll be limping. We'll be careful. Why? We cannot see. So our spiritual progress is a function of light. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I see better, God, when I see better, I will move faster. I will move where I should move. How many people know that if you see better, you will not just hit this chair? You will know enough to move. So the misbehaviors of men is a sight problem in their minds. When men see, because nobody is walking here now and just walks into a chair. No, you walk into a chair because you did not see. So if you see better, you will do better. So the eyes of my understanding, we are praying, is enlightened, flooded with light. Amen. Right? He says that you may know the hope of his calling. So you will know what it means when he says that someone preached the gospel to you and you believed. And I want you to listen to this now. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the... See, I want you to look at your Bible. The riches of the glory of the inheritance. Is it... Where is it located? Church, where is it located? Are you a saint? So there is something in you that you need prayer to discover. Amen. Somebody had to pray so that you may see how big it is, how robust it is that you are. One believer is above all demoniacal forces, but he might be afraid of them. One believer can stop situations and circumstances, but he may never. One believer. Look at it. It says, please understand the inheritance. Has God given us inheritance? Where is the inheritance? It is the same. What is the inheritance? The Spirit is the inheritance. He has given us. Say, I have the Spirit. Come on. Because you need to start to talk like a man that has the Spirit. Say, I have the Spirit. Come on. I have the Spirit. Church, I have the Spirit. I'm a man of the Spirit. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Please, I want you to see this. He is now describing the power in you. Amen. Paul is describing the power in you. Look at Ephesians 1. We are still in verse 19. He says, what is the exceeding? That word exceeding is the word hupabalo. Do you know what hupabalo means? Hupabalo means an overthrow, an overkill. You know what hupabalo means? Hupabalo means maybe when Dickin Sodik now says he wants to fight me, then I go and take an atomic bomb. Are you getting what I'm saying? What will Sodik say? I thought it was just that. I thought it was Anthony Joshua level. Are you getting it? It is too much. It's more. What are we talking about here? That's the word upabalo. Upa is from the word hyper. He said that's the word exceeding. Because he's trying to help you see that this power on the inside of you is an overkill. It's an overthrow. In the Greek, it says it's much more than you ever need. Meaning when you have done all you need to do, it has not been depleted by anything. Wow. Amen. Church, amen. Meaning that let's just use healing. If we healed every sick in the world, the power in you will not say, give me some time to rest. It's not depleted by anything. That's what the hupabalo. Amen. That's what hupabalo, it says the exceeding greatness. Someone say exceeding greatness. Greek scholars tell us that verse is the highest concentration of power in the whole Bible. Exceeding greatness. That word greatness is the word megetos, where we get the word mega. It's actually, you know, when someone is struggling, sometimes I get into that bubble. You are trying to communicate something to somebody. You start to use different ideas to communicate the same thing. Just like I say, you know, you are beautiful. You say no. Then you now start using your face is like a, your mind is like a. Yeah. What am I trying to do? I am trying to explain in his very dimensions the kind of power that is in the believer. So the believer does not have a power problem. The believer has a knowledge problem and an exercising problem. Amen. Amen. Because the word megatos means mega, big. Great. So the power on the inside of us is an overkill that is great. Amen. Exceeding greatness of his power. That word power is the word dunamis. Dunamis is miraculous power that is in a thing by nature. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Say, Pastor Dyer, why are you giving us the Greek? So you will know what he's talking about. The word, so he's actually saying that power in you is big, is mighty, is more than you would ever need, and it is in you by nature. What is the nature you have? The resurrection. Dunamis is something that is in you because of who you are. Praise God. That is why the Bible will say, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy. Dunamis is the word there. So do demons have power? Yes, by function of their nature, they do. Amen. Does the believer have power? Yes, by function of his nature. Amen. What am I trying to tell you here? To see in, let Rebecca have a very good Christian chip on her shoulder that she's not normal. Amen. Amen. It says, the exceeding greatness of his power towards us that are believers. Amen. According to the working. Working, that word there, working, is operational. This power is operational, energy, operational. It now says, according to his mighty power. Someone say mighty power. Mighty power are other Greek words too. Why am I giving you the Greek word? I want you to see the different ways this man is trying to explain what he's talking about. Mighty, there is the word Kratos. Kratos, now, how many people have seen people that you call the strongest man in the world competition? Yeah. So there are two words there, mighty power. So there is Kratos and there is Iskus. Iskus is, you know, Rebecca, when you see the man with all his build, you say, what will you say about that man? That man is strong. Has he done anything yet? No, that's Iskus. Meaning he's telling you there is, Iskus is saying there is power here. When you come to power here, in looking, there is power here. That's Iskus. Kratos is when that man now comes and carries you. And shakes you like this and just flings you away without trying. When people look, they'll say, that's Kratos. What is that? That man is exercising his power. So Kratos is the exercise of Iskus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he's saying that, see, all these things we are saying about you, we are saying that you have power. We are now saying that that power is exercisable. Amen. Have you seen some people that have these muscles? It looks like they have power. But when you now hear them talk, hello? Problem. Amen. It's not that kind of one. This one is Kratos. There is power exercised. The Bible now gives you an example of where this power has been exercised. Amen. Church, amen. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. When he did what? So, Kratos, has he been exercised? Where did they exercise Kratos? In the raising of Christ. So, did he take or need power to raise Christ from the dead? The power that is in God in the resurrection, could it raise Christ from the dead? Did it raise Christ from the dead? The Bible says that very power is within the believer. Praise God. Church, praise God. That very same power, meaning there is resurrection power in you. Not only do you have a resurrection Lord or a resurrected Lord, you also have the resurrection or ability. The ability to give life. The ability to give life. So the ability to give life, a 3-day-old dead body came back to life with the power that is inside of you when that power was exerted. Is it making sense? Look at it. He says he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Say, now, look at it. You're going to look at verse 21 very shortly. But look at Ephesians 2. Today, I'm showing you from Bible to help you see as a believer what has happened to you. Look at Ephesians 2. Look at verse 4. But... are you in Ephesians? But who is rich in? For his great. So you see that word there again, great, mega. So what kind of love does God have? Mega love. Too big, too great, too mighty. Wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Please stop. In verse 1, who did he say was raised from the dead. Christ, right? In chapter 2, we now see that when Christ was raised, who else was raised? We were raised. Look at it. It says, even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us together with? So when Christ was quickened, who else was quickened? You know, every believer believes that. That's why they are believers. When you say the Christ died, everybody say, yes. In fact, when you say, was Christ raised from the dead? Every believer will say, yes. But the point now is, please don't lose me. Verse 6 says, and he raised us up where? Together. Meaning, please, I need to understand that this teaching here is trying to tell you the authority that is in Jesus is the authority in his body. The body of Christ. He said he raised us how? Together. And made us sit where? Together. So where Christ is sat, are there other people sat there too? Church, are there other people sat there too? This thing must become real to you. Amen. Church, amen. Is Christ raised? Yes, he's raised. Are you raised? Yes, you are raised. Is Christ sat? Yes, he is sat. Are you sat? Yes. Why? He did the work together. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly, in Christ. So where Christ is seated, say where Christ is seated. I am seated. Come on, where Christ is seated. I am seated. Go back to Ephesians 1 verse 21. Where is Christ seated? Verse 21. Where is Christ seated? Church, where is Christ seated? You know, if you read it and you said far above all, you have done well. Because the remaining things there is trying to qualify entities in the spiritual realm. Who is the highest in the spiritual realm? Jesus. Where are you? You are in him. If he's got authority, do you have authority? You know, a demoniac will be walking around and then will torment the whole city and then will see Jesus. Do you know what the demoniac did? Runs towards Jesus and says, do not torment me before my time. And then Jesus, he said, please, let me get into the pit. Jesus will just say, go. In fact, sometimes negotiating and overseeing leave is an insult to your position. Then you say, go. Yeah. No, a word is enough. It's either they heard or they did not hear. Stay in the place of authority and don't go by what you see. Praise God. Jesus just said, go. And they left. Amen. Church, amen. It's authority. That is why that man, I love the centurion story because the centurion story shows us what authority looks like. He says, I'm a man of authority. You don't need to come to my house. See, the moment we are dealing around, okay, come, do not come. In my house, maybe I don't think you have authority. The question is, do you have authority over sickness and disease? If I have authority over sickness and disease, by my voice, whether I am there or not, they must obey. That's what that guy was saying. He said, no, there's no need to come. It's about authority. It's either you have it or you don't have it. I was teaching a meeting, right? On believer's authority, and I just left the meeting. My wife was in the car. Someone came to us and said, my mom has just been diagnosed of cancer. Her belly is swollen up. You know, and my mom's sister or brother died of the same thing. And the boy, maybe 15 or 16 years old, dad, there was crying. Say, don't, pastor, don't let my mother die. And passion, you know, pastors are always passionate. That's why they should have deacons, so they don't die before their time. Amen? After healing school that I finished around 4:30, I was about to run to the hospital. My wife just said, you have authority now. You just taught us that we can transfer power. Why don't you just transfer the power to any material around and let them go and lay it on the person? It's either you have authority over cancer or you don't. All this one that you are running there, you don't have to. I thought about it. I was going to run again. But I have to show that I believe the teaching I just taught. Amen. So I just said, yeah, it makes sense. Those are things that are running in my brain that I will not say. She's just looking at me, looking at her, looking at this, looking at me. All right, okay, so yeah. I take the handkerchief. I put my hands on it. I told the boy, I have authority over cancer. Go and drop it on your mom, and she should be fine. The guy goes, drops it on the mom. You know, the mom is now, what do you call those MP? She's not an MP in Glasgow today. That's someone that would have died. And they laid that thing on her, and the belly, you know, there are things that say, we don't know what happened. The belly went poof. They called the doctors. What's going on here? You must have said, I'm okay. They put her down and they examine her. No trace. Why? It's either you have authority or you don't have authority. I'm here to tell you today that the believer has authority, and that authority is exercised for there to be a difference. My point is, if you have sugar and you don't put it in your tea will be bitter. See, all this all you have authority is a beautiful statement, but if you put it in your pocket and never use it, you will be one of the greatest men that ever walked the earth, but we never saw that greatness. Amen. 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 You have Maggie and the stew is bitter. You didn't put it inside. Are you getting it? Don't just say, hey, wait. No. You stand your ground. You talk like that. You act like that. You have authority. You know, I was teaching about authority, right? Controversial, I don't care. We're teaching about authority. And I said, do you know that I have seen from scripture that we have authority even over the weather when we want to do something. You know, in the church, people say, I finished the service that day. I think we're going somewhere to go and do something. Right? Because I'd seen my mentor who was going for a crusade. And when they were going for a crusade, they got to the airport and they were about to take off. The pilot said, no, we can't take off in this jet because of the weather, and the rain was falling. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, let the rain and let it stop, because we have to be there because of souls. I stand in my place of authority in the name of Jesus. And he went to sit down. He said, the plane is not going. He said, okay. Let me tell you something. When you have authority, stop arguing. You'll be arguing with doctor, arguing with people. Go and sit down. The pilot said he's not flying. He said, okay, sit down. But he didn't go home. Why? He knew that the authority he had, he sat down and waited for the atmosphere to change. He sat down. Because that's why they see a lot of believers as stupid people. You be arguing with the doctor, I don't have cancer. It is the one I gave you. It's not the one. Use your authority. Don't make me think you're stupid. Amen. Sit down. The guy sat down there. He told the wife, sit down. We are still going for the... Don't call them, they're not coming. Sit down. They're waiting. All of a sudden, everywhere clears up. The pilot comes back and says, I see a hole that I can fly through. Get in now, let's go. Everybody. They got into the plane. They went. After that, the rain started falling. What just happened? Someone said, it's a coincidence. You know, all these people, it's your business. The point is that he used authority. He got to the crusade. Amen. Church, amen. So I thought about it. And then wanted to go do something quite important. And rain started falling. You know, all these disciples, they're not looking at me like, Pastor. I said, I know what you want to see. God cannot shame me. I'm preaching this God. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're about to go now. I ask that this stops in Jesus' name. You may not like it. We sat in the car. I said, stay in the car. As we stayed in the car, all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. You know, someone can say, well, the weather forecasters have said after. No, it's authority. Praise God. Church, praise God. I am trying to say to you, believer, you have what? Authority. But much more, exercise that authority. What will make you exercise that authority? Because you understand that that authority is yours. Amen. Church, look at verse 21. Ephesians 1:21. For far above. Go back to Ephesians 6 verse. Because this must make sense to you. This must make sense to you. Because you must understand why the Bible talks about the devil being using wiles and tricks. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So those things, these things, principalities, powers. But what did he tell us in Ephesians 1:20? That the believer and Jesus are what? Far, where? Above what? All principalities and powers. So if the believer is far above principalities and powers, what is going on? That's what the Bible says, the devil uses wiles, tricks. So
Let me look at what the devil does. The devil will try to get a believer, another believer, not to walk in love. Amen. Because in not walking in love, they are not exercising their authority, and so they get into trouble. It's not that the devil has power. The devil is using tricks. Someone say tricks. Any trick in the book to get the believer not to walk in his authority. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come and say, I have authority. So look at Ephesians 1 verse 20. 21. Far above how many? All principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Brothers, did you see that? Every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to. Church, please, I need you to follow me. So there is authority. The person that has this authority is far above all principalities and powers. The Bible is saying Jesus is actually the guy that has the authority. But what did Jesus do after having that authority? Look at verse 21, verse 22. And had put all things under his. Church, he has put how many things? Under. Where would we find principalities and powers? Under the feet of Jesus. Please follow. And gave him. This is all old school kind of speaking. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. When he was raised from the grave, and he has authority far above all principalities and powers, where do we see the authority? Church. He got the authority, and he put the authority where? In the church. Is there. If you say no, look at it there. He says it in verse 23. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his. The church is his. Church. The church is his. Brethren, where is the devil? We said under our feet. Where is the body? Is it higher than the feet or lower than the feet? So the believer. Okay, so let's look at it again. Who is Jesus? He's the head of the. He's the head of the church. The church is his body. So that we are together. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. In fact, Colossians chapter 2. How do I say this and say this well? Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. I have to say this well. Verse 17. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who is the image of the invisible God? Jesus. The firstborn of every creature. Look at verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. So there is authority. The authority is with the head. The authority in the head was conferred to the body. So where is the authority of Jesus today? The authority of Jesus is in the body. Who are you? We are members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Let's look at the chapter 6. Say, I am a member. Church, I am a member of the body. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the. Know ye not. Because this must be real to you. That your bodies are a member of. Are a member of Christ. You know, everyone says there. Let's take it because we have to take it. Shall I take the members of Christ and make it members of a harlot? It says God. Do you see what? Do you see? He's actually trying to correct harlotry in the church. What did he use to correct harlotry in the church? Did he say you are saved by grace? Go and keep harloting. No. Amen. No. He says, don't you know? The revelation that we teach is to affect. When we say, don't you know? Because a lot of people are on this side. When we say, do you have power? You say, yes. Can we cast out disease? Say, can we cast out disease? Say, yes. Why? We are members of the body. Is that same members of the body that ensures that you are not a harlot? Amen. Church, amen. Look at that. So we are members of the same body. Look at verse 16. It says, what? Do you not know that he that is joined to an harlot is one body with him, for two shall be one flesh? Verse 17. But he that is what? Joined unto the Lord is one. Is one spirit. Say, I'm joined to the Lord. Is how many spirits? Church, how many spirits? So, oh, listen. Do you have the spirit of Christ?
Yes.
That spirit of Christ, that man Christ, is seated. Are you seated? At the right hand. Is he far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and name, every name that is named? So what is the issue? Believers need to start to act like so. Amen. My point is, I'm dealing today with knowing who you are, that you may exercise your authority. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I intentionally reduced the stories today so that you can get the points scripturally. Because sometimes some people come and say, that's his story. That's his experience. Though you better be careful. No. So when you see the story, you hear the story, you hear the word of God. Amen. Amen. So it's not, I'm just sharing you the story so you see that it is real. Yeah. Look at it. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse, let's enjoy this. Verse 9. Because this must be real to you. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. How? So Jesus is all of God. Amen. So when Jesus was on the earth, who was on the earth? How did we know? They told us. In him dwells the fullness. Fullness. You know, not like nowadays because of inflation. You know, in those days when you open Coke, it's always full. But now, nowadays, they are reducing it. It's always full. Pleroma. Full. Like biscuit. Even who was telling me about Indomie recently. Say, when Indomie, when you open Indomie to his light, everything is no more, there's no longer pleroma. But that's not like our Jesus. Our Jesus is the fullness of God. Bodily. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fullness of God. You know, you will have said, oh, if the fullness of God could just be walking by on the streets of Stratford, Peckham, maybe I can touch the hem of his garment. Maybe something can happen to me. You know, you could have talked like that. Why? Because you are not related to the fullness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're not related to the fullness. The story of the woman with the issue of blood. So the fullness of God is working. The woman will say, oh, that I may. But there is something better. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is something better. Look at it. So there is a fullness. There is a person that carries this fullness. That's where we are. We are in verse 9. He now says in verse 10, you are
complete.
Complete where? Where? So remove complete. You are in him. Amen. Jesus is the fullness. Where are you? In him. Say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of God's power. Come on, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of God's power. You are complete in him. Who is the head of all? Principality and power. Are you hearing again? These issues of principality and power. What are principalities? Head rulers of certain designations. So depending on context, it could be angels or demons. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You are in him. Can I get a believing amen? You are in him. You are in him. That is why even when an angel will appear in the book of Revelation, and John, because of the physical thing that he saw, as it were, the spiritual vision, he would want to bow down. The guy said, no, don't bow down. Don't worship me. Worship is for God. Guess what? Who are we? We are in Christ.
The man in Christ is higher than angels. Angels are created to minister to the man that is in Christ. He must know it. In fact, when you exercise authority, either through prayer or by words, you see the angels move. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am saying this so that you understand that you've got stuff at your disposal. You are just not normal. No. When you speak, things happen. You must see that way. Why? You are a man of authority. Shout amen. Amen. Look at it. Look at it carefully. You are complete in him. Say, I'm complete in him. Say, I'm complete in him. The head of all principalities and powers. You know, when I was in, I went to King's College, right? And my brother used to be, because there was the junior school and in another place, the senior school. First of all, the junior school, when you're in GSS 3, you are the big boys in school, right? And you know what? My brother was in GSS 3. I was in GS 2. I was not a mate of anybody in GS 2. Do you know why? I've got a brother in GS 3. Yeah. Amen. So when they said, hey, boy, they come here, I'm like, do you not know that I have got a brother who is most likely your friend? You cannot bully me. So when they're trying to run, everybody, oh, a senior is coming, people are running. I just walk. Why? I have got a brother. Say, why are you not running? Because this is where they call us. They call us a boy there. When they say a boy there, everybody is running for their soul. I'm working. Why? They caught me one day. They wanted to beat me. Somebody said, don't you know that that's Bios, brother? They stop. Why? I am in him. Yes. Amen. You know, the devil, demon, principality. No, we are in Christ. He says, stop in the name of Jesus. I'm here. So you can use that word I use. I've got a brother. Everybody settle down. I have got a brother. Settle down. When things get missing, because we are talking about, it looks like we're talking about power, talking about authority. Even Daniel at his level, they said that there's a problem. They said, what's the problem? They said the king dreamed. The king wants to know what the revelation of his dream is, but he will not tell anybody the dream. Daniel said, everybody calm down. I am the child of the Lord. I know that my Lord will tell me the matter in a night. And the guy went to sleep. He is not one in whom the spirit dwells. Amen? Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are a believer. There should be more consciousness. Say, God will tell me. Say this about yourself. God will tell me things to come. God will show me. The Holy Ghost leads me. No evil befalls me. No plague comes near my dwelling. It doesn't matter what they are machinating, whatever is going on out there in the world. You say, we are different. We are. Don't say, You know, it's always two sides of the coin. There are some people that believe the believer's authority and they are reckless, just like during the time of COVID. Right? Time of COVID, they said, government said, put something on. Just to, you know, even if you believe that nothing will happen to you. They say put something on so that other people will not get damaged by your recklessness. I'm a believer. That's wrong. But the other part is that don't be in fear. Don't say, you go to Pastor Daniel's church, that man will kill you. All this drunk, I'm a believer. You will enjoy yourself. No, you say no. Let me even tell you how amazing this is. Even if you were down with it, don't say, finally. I knew that there was something wrong with that thing. I knew there must have been a crack somewhere. Say no. In the midst of you down, say glory to God. Greater is he that is in me. Why? You said you don't live by what you see. Amen. Amen. That's how to be a champion. Amen. 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 Say I am complete in him. Let us round off tonight. Let's round off tonight. Look at verse 11. In whom also ye are, I'm in Colossians 2:11. Ye are what? Circumcised. So the Bible is trying to tell you, you see that circumcision you saw Moses do? It was a type and shadow of the real circumcision. What is the real circumcision? How God will take away the stony heart of men. Are we together? Amen. Are we together? Amen. Let me, so that we are clear. Should you circumcise your son today? Yes, but not for religious purposes, for medical and health purposes. Amen. But the circumcision was a pointer. It's a message. There are no longer symbols in the New Testament. Can I get a believing amen? All the symbols are gone. So, Colossians will tell us the circumcision has to do with what? The real circumcision of our hearts through Christ. Look at verse 12. Buried with him in? Baptism. Buried with him in? Baptism. Is there a need for a physical immersion into water today? No. It was a pointer. Symbols are gone. It was a pointer to what God will do. And he says the baptism of the New Testament is baptism by faith. So faith, what is, faith cannot be physical. Amen. Look at it again. It says, buried with him in baptism, where also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So the baptism we see in the Old Testament, and even with John, and even sometimes practiced in the early days of the early church, were all pointers to what God will do. What will God do? We will be raised. We will be buried with Christ. And we will be raised with him. And all of this will be by faith. Someone say, I believe. By the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And you. Can you see that every time he talks about what God did in Christ, he always puts, and you. Because it happened together. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has it quickened? When Christ was quickened, were you quickened? We were quickened. I haven't forgiven you of all your sins. Look at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it away, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15. I'll explain that another time. And haven't spoiled. I want you to be there. I want you to see that when it comes to these principalities matter, they are defeated. Having spoiled what? You know, no, see, listen. Having done what? Spoiled. You know that word? Made an open shame. Amen. Imagine, you know that everybody, I use this example all the time. You know everybody for many years were afraid of Osama bin Laden. He was hidden. We didn't know where it was. If you see anybody doing it, hey, you want to run. It might be Osama and his boys. Right? Then they catch Osama bin Laden. Or you can even use Saddam Hussein. Do you know what they did to ensure that the fear of Osama is no longer in town? They aired the capture live. Amen? They showed everyone the video. So now the point is, you are shown the video not because CNN is bored. You are shown the video so that you will know that the guy that was the tormentor of many people is no longer in charge. The Bible says that is the same thing in the old Roman world when you fight. You know the way Anthony Joshua was just fighting Uganda, he gave me a point and someone entered the middle and said it's over. No, in the olden days, it doesn't happen like that. You will fight, you will beat the person. The person will faint and be unconscious. Then you will not be carrying the person about. And I'll say, everybody see Ngannou, I beat him. What is the point? So after that day, Ngannou no longer has a right to call himself champion or to call himself someone that... So Ngannou becomes someone that everyone is no longer afraid of because they saw his open shame. I get the point. So the Bible is saying the cross and the resurrection of Jesus is the open and public disgrace of the devil. So when you understand this, the devil is a disgraceful. His disgrace is the obvious cross and your Lord's resurrection. So the devil is not someone that should be respected from that perspective because he's a disgraced personality. Are you getting the point? Let's conclude. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, these same principalities that we're talking about. He says, he made an open show, openly triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. See, I have spent today showing you as believer that when it comes to authority, actually, think about it as we close tonight. There is an open show. Amen. What has happened? An open show. We are, if you didn't know before, we are telling you now. Jesus said in his word that the cross is the remembrance, is the open show of the defeat and the humiliation of the devil. That is the reason why the Bible will talk about devils, we talk about wiles. It's only tricks now. In the New Testament, there is no place where which you hear the devil and you are going to hear he has power anywhere. No, for the believer, he can only use tricks. He can only use temptations. Like you see him do with Jesus. If you are this, do this. If you are this, do that. Why? Because he has been defeated. Praise God. And all of that activity, who did he do it for? He did it for you. Amen. Imagine Rebecca. Rebecca worked so hard. After she worked so hard, she says, Pastor D, this is 10 million. It's all my savings. I am now giving it to Toby. Right? She gives Toby the 10 million. And Toby is still entering bus. What would we do to... What would we do to Toby? It's either he doesn't know. He doesn't know how to open that bank account. Or should we be rude? He's mad. Are you getting the point? The point is, authority is so big, in the moment you are told, it should be used. Praise God. It should be used. Use your authority. Stand against things. Stand against the oppressions of the devil. Stand in the name of our Lord Jesus. Rise upon your feet.